association with AnnaValleyShow.com. The Go Show is back. The original LSU podcast coming to you on a Thursday night, September 25th, 2014. Where's that music? That death music, like wah wah. Yeah, that's what we need right now. LSU falls to Mississippi State 34-29 in a game that was a lot closer than what that final score indicates. Me and Patrick Morris are here to talk about that. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Kerry.
What's going on tonight, buddy?
None. I'm going to be here to try and help you through this tumultuous time that we're experiencing with LSU football.
I don't need help. I've formulated an opinion, and opinionated, and you're going to get that opinion. And I'm sure you have formulated an opinion too. But anyway, ways to get in touch with the show as always. We are, like I said, we are the Go Show, your original LSU podcast, in partnership with AnnaValleyShow.com, part of SB Nation. You want to find the site, you just, simple, www.andthevalleyshow.com. You want to get in touch with us, you want to tweet at the show, tweet at me at GoShowCarry, tweet at Patrick, he's at CatGodfather. You want to tweet to the site, it's at ValleyShook, to the man, the myth, the legend, podcast, behind the scenes, pushing the buttons, tweaking things, the madman, the Pierrepoint pimp, the Cajun Bill D. Williams, hanging out with us, listening to me and Patrick talk about this this game. We're gonna talk about New Mexico State a little bit later. By myself, I'm gonna talk to Matthew Monte. He is a writer for UnderdogDynasty.com, an SB Nation site which they specialize in covering the mid-majors, and he is specifically in charge of, he kind of is the Sun Belt connoisseur a little bit, Patrick. Everybody will hear him later on in the show. But Patrick, it's about as good as energetic as a show you're going to get from us as humanly possible. We're going to try to talk candidly, but at the same time, we're going to be very critical. So if you're a sunshine pumper, and you want to hear nothing but nice things, we're going to right the ship, and we're going to be okay, just turn your iPod off right now, because that's not what you're getting from me. Ways to listen to the show. Download us via iTunes for free to your iPod device. That's the easiest way. Something we haven't mentioned much, and we don't do a whole lot with it anymore, but you can like us on Facebook, too, if you want to do that. So either way. Patrick, your initial thoughts.
Yeah. Initial thoughts. It's not a matter of what we did. It's a matter of what we didn't do. I'm looking at it from, I'm going to take that angle with this. What didn't we do? We didn't have proper tackling technique. We didn't contain the quarterback. We didn't get off the field on third down. We didn't have linebackers that could prevent a 10 to 15 yard pass. We didn't have any creativity on offense. We didn't have any push with the offensive line. We didn't have a very good game plan, nor for that matter, very good preparation, freshman or no freshman on the field. We got out game planned, and we got out, I'm not going to say out coach, I'm just going to say we got out game planned, and we got out manned is what we got by a bunch of seniors playing freshmen. And I'm not going to use the freshman thing because the talent is there. It's a matter of coaching the talent. I'll leave it. That's what I'm going to go with. We didn't do things.
Yeah. It was from the outset, they jump out on a 7-0, and we come out and we talked about it last week about being creative in the running game and doing different things and spreading them out. Not Les Miles. I freaking formation. I don't understand. This is my thing. This is what I'm mad really with. So you go out and you recruit players, Anthony Jennings, Brandon Harris, ran the spread in high school. if your intention is to continue to be an I-formation type team with a pocket passer, why bring those type of guys in? Now, granted, that the guy taking the snaps doesn't block, because we wouldn't get any push. But when we're not getting a push, and this is what the most frustrating thing is. Mississippi State didn't load nine guys in a box. Played a base defense. And our offensive line, which is supposed to be the most experienced part, our two most experienced units on the field, our secondary and our offensive line, did not perform up to the caliber of which they should be performing. We've got experience, we've got ability at both those positions, at the offensive line and the secondary, and neither one of them. I mean, Dak Prescott wasn't. It wasn't that. You know, if we come out in this game and we lose 27-24, you tip your cap, okay? Law of averages, they've beaten us twice in the last 25 years, only once at home since 1991. You tip your cap. That's a good, solid football team, a lot of experience, 18 returning starters, a very much more experienced, more talented quarterback at this point. So you tip your cap, you say, great game, Mississippi State, but you look up at the scoreboard in the third quarter, and it's 31-10 at home to Mississippi State, who is unranked. Good team. Don't get me wrong. They're 14th now. They're 14th in the country now. And I hope that holds up. I hope they come on these next 2 weeks. They have two solid games they have to play at home against Auburn and A&M, I believe, in back-to-back weeks. Let's hope this holds true. Let's hope they come out and at least split those games, if not hopefully win them both in playing in Starkville. So – but they just beat the ever-living shit out of us. They kicked our ass from the word go. And the whole synopsis of the game, and I know our friend that sits behind us was probably getting a little bit aggravated with me, Pat, because I kept harping on it. But we made that play. We get down to the two-yard line, and we can't score from the two-yard line in the north end zone, in our student section, going towards our student section. And they just take the ball right there and go four plays, 98 yards. We were in for a world of hurt from that point forward.
Yeah, and what gets me is usually in a game like that, it's, you know, as a freshman, how you think it'd be your first real huge game in Tiger Stadium, well over 100,000 at night, SEC, everybody's focused on his game, and you're not going to come. You would think the adrenaline would be pumping. You would think that, and that you would have that extra edge because your adrenaline is pumping. Granted, you may make some mistakes as far as assignments and things like that, but to get pushed around at home with that crowd, that's really, in my mind, what surprised me, is the fact that they came in and they, in our place, and took it to us when we had emotion and everything else behind it. Usually with emotion, you start off strong and the other team comes back. Mm-hmm. Seemed like Mississippi State was playing off of our emotion in the stadium. And, you know, maybe they took the it's us against the world approach. Hell, that can work too. But I don't even want to talk about what they did. I want to talk about what we did. You know, it's our fault. It's not Mississippi State. They played well enough to win. Like you said, I hope they don't go blow the next three games because I want them to prove they're good. I actually like right. Mississippi State if you had to pick them in the West. But yeah. At the same time, we blew that game. We just blew it straight from the coaching standpoint on down.
Yeah, I thought, like you said, the game plan was awful. Now, granted, we played that game 10 more times. I don't know what's the outcome, but they looked far superior than us. Hats off to them. They played fantastic. But we just we played right into their hands. We ran straight into the teeth. We did exactly what we said we shouldn't be doing, which was running straight into the teeth of that defense. And that's exactly what we tried to do the entire freaking game. And that's what drives me crazy about Les Miles sometimes, about the stubbornness of, you know, I don't know what's going on as far as who developed the game plan. If it was a, you know, if that just doesn't look like Cam Cameron calling plays. I don't want to get into the whole conversation about that right now. But it seems like he's calling plays based off of what Les Miles wants the game plan to be.
And yeah, it's almost like they're out thinking themselves. I mean, think about it. they go into these plans, oh, they're not going to expect us just to come down and ram it down their throat. They got these big defensive tackles and stuff like that, and we're going to show them we're going to go right down their throat. Well, no. Big, you know, good defensive tackles, get them moving a little bit. Get them out of their normal comfort zone. Like you said earlier, you've got two quarterbacks that if you're ever going to run the freaking read option and stuff, that's the one you want to do it with. Why the hell are you going to sit them in the pocket and run two running backs? And even when you run the running backs behind them, at least do something different. Okay, here it comes. By the way, I'm going to point at the left guard. Here we go. Here I come. Let me. And then all they did was bring up their linebacker, stuff to run, and they were done. I mean, when you got four running backs, the quality that we have, and you get and Podcast could probably tell us the stats. I didn't even look at the final stats. But two running backs that got under 60 yards or something like that.
Who was? Oh yeah, we had 89 yards total rushing. I've got it right here. Give me a second.
That is unfreaking believable. Yeah, 89 yards less.
So, which by the way, Dak Prescott outran our entire offense by himself, 105 yards. I don't even want to talk about Robinson, that tailback. He ran for 197 on 16 carries. Due to math, that's 12 yards a carry. It's just an outright, really frustrating, but also very humbling experience, because I'd like to not think we're that bad, but I'm looking at the rest of our schedule.
Oh, I'm looking at five losses now.
And I'm looking at teams that run the ball very well. If we can't stop the run, that's going to open up things in the passing game. All that stuff that I thought about Auburn, watching him play Kansas State the other night, if we can't get some kind of push in that defensive line to do things to stop the run, they are going to eat us alive too. But, you know, it's just – it's a matter of – and by the way, Mississippi State bye week this coming week, and then they have A&M and Auburn back-to-back weeks in Starkville. So, for them, I guess from their standpoint, they're probably happy to have that bye week, because that kind of avoids – that kind of puts away any kind of letdown you have after a big, big win on the road. You know, coming back home, and granted, it's against another big-time team, but at least they have – they'll have an opportunity to kind of regather themselves and get refocused for, you know, consecutive top 10, you know, matchups coming up. Well, top 10 opponents coming to that stadium. So, but,
you know, getting off of what we didn't do, I mean, you know, the other bad part about this game, it just created a major quarterback controversy. Whether it does or not, it created a quarterback controversy. And we shouldn't have, but it did.
Yeah, and we said last week we were both in agreement that Anthony Jennings was supplanted as our starter, and Brandon Harris would just be in there, kind of a change of pace, maybe run a couple wrinkles here and there, but that's not the case. Well, now we have we've got a quarterback controversy, and now I don't know the extent of Anthony Jennings' injury, because he got popped on that play that he went out on, but if he's healthy, knowing Les Miles, he's probably going to start. Hopefully we see Brandon Harris more than 40% of the snaps. Yeah. If he shows any kinds of ill effects from getting popped and struggles a little bit early, Les needs to make the change, and we need to start working on what we're going to do in the future to make this offense more efficient against, because after this, guess what? You get seven conference games to close out the season. So, you know, ain't no sense in being vanilla in this game.
And let me make an observation there, because I watched the game on that Sunday night, the replay again.
I couldn't.
Oh, I had to. What I did know is, and I was just looking for at certain players, you know, because everybody, well, Harris came in and he did this. Well, I wanted to see it again, you know, just to see, you know, obviously he's playing against Mississippi State kind of lacks down a little bit and stuff. But there is one thing I did notice with the two quarterbacks. You know, and I'm going to take this back to way back to my playing days, but Jenkins looked like he is he's kind of like that senior starter right now, even though we know he's not a senior, but that, okay, I'm going to do exactly what the coaches tell me. I'm going to, you know, follow the plan to the T. I'm not going to take a chance, because he's not going to take the chance with his throws and stuff. He's going to throw it in the ground. He's going to do what he's got to do. You know, if he does throw an interception, it's usually on some kind of fluke or something like that. So he's not going to take the chance. He's a very safe bet at quarterback.
Yeah, he does.
Our issue is I want to see a little – I don't want to see safe. At this point, we don't need safe. When Harris came in the game, he had nothing to lose. Think about it. He went out there. He forced some balls. But you know what? He's going to force some balls, and that's a freshman. But he's playing with some more reckless abandon out there, and he's also going to make some plays. So what do you want? Do you want the guy that's going to go out there and his teammates are going to say, all right, this is fun. Let's go. Let's try this. Or do you want the guy that's going to go out there and say, calm down, guys. Let's get back in the huddle. Let's run right up the center's freaking butt, and let's gain 2 yards. Maybe we can get a good run for 4 yards and maybe not have to punt. What are we going to do?
Yeah, it's a matter. It's Anthony Jennings. It's more or less, what's the play call? He's already predetermined in his mind what's he going to do with the football, whether he's going to, you know, whether it's a pass play and he's going to his first read, or if it's, say, for instance, on that fourth, I believe it was the fourth down, the option play with Fournette was wide open for the pitch. But I mean, how about an old-fashioned just toss sweep? If you're not doing anything on the against the interior of that defensive line,
steal the freaking lineman and get outside.
Let's do something outside. A good old-fashioned toss sweep. It's not hard, but of course, when your offensive line is having issues, and granted, they've, you know, injury bug has kind of hit them a little bit. Speaking of injury bugs, we lost Quentin Thomas for the next couple of weeks to an already thin defensive line, so that's not good. You know,
we just got to get stronger. I mean, we've got to man up, let our you know what, drop a little bit and play like men instead of playing like babies straight out of high school.
Yeah, it was.
And the sad thing is, it's not the freshmen that are playing like that. It's the older people on the team.
Yeah, it was. I was really. I mean, I guess I was very much most disappointed in our secondary. I honestly thought. No, I didn't think we were gonna hold Dak Prescott to, you know, 40% completion percentage and, you know, 108 yards passing and a couple of picks. I thought he was going to make some plays, a couple plays here and there, because that's what he did against us last year, and he's that type of good. But I really did not think that guys would just be wide open the entire game and it would be breakdowns and coverages. I really thought that was kind of behind us from last season. I thought we kind of had that leadership. So that's, you know, even more so than the vanilla offensive game plan. I thought that was very disappointing. And there's, you know, it's a matter of, you know, I don't know if it's scheme or if it's personnel, but I think it's time. I don't really care if Kendall Beckwith doesn't know the whole defense and doesn't know where he's always supposed to be. The guy just flat out, he makes more plays than DJ Welty. It's time.
At least he's in the play. No matter where it is, he's in the play.
So.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of start with that. You can make that change right there. Defensive line, I don't really know what to say about the defensive line. You know, we used to be defensive line U, and we're not recruiting. I don't know if we're just the scouting as far as the recruiting of players, and just not they're not coming in with a good enough ability. We're not doing a good job grading these guys, but we're just not getting the caliber of defensive linemen that we used to get. Well, they're not playing up to whatever we have them graded out as. I don't know if it's because they committed to LSU that kind of bumps them up, and as far as their ratings go, recruiting ratings, because we're so infamous for churning out defensive linemen. But these last couple seasons, we've really seen a regression in our defensive line play, and that's where it starts. It's, you know, if we can't get defensive line play, it kind of filters down forward, and you know, these teams, I mean, as much talent as there is in the SEC West, LSU's got a long road to hoe, because it's not getting any easier. And, you know, I don't know what this means going forward, but, you know, there's some things that we need to do, and hopefully we can come out, we can correct some things here against New Mexico State now, and just flat out just play better at Auburn. I mean, that's all we can really ask for right now, hope for right now.
Yeah, well, like I say, we can't get any worse than we are right now. You know, as for a low point, you know. But you did touch on a good point earlier. It's a humbling. We've been on such a high. You know, I hate to say it, we've been on a high. We're coming in. Nobody knows us. We got this. It's Tiger Stadium on Saturday night. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's bring the program back down to earth. and realize we got to work for it. You want it, earn it, you know. And maybe let's try and take a positive out of this. Look like we had some, you know, from the, you know, quarterback point of view, you know, maybe there is some positive there. Maybe we can expand on that. Maybe we can take this mindset that, look, we're not invincible at home. We have to show up from the moment that ball kicks off to the moment that game ends. The positive I will give you here, you said we weren't going to have a positive. I have one. Once again, we didn't quit. No matter who was in the game, we didn't quit.
I was thinking the exact same thing right before you said that. I was going to bring that up. But once again, that's that intuition we have with each other.
The fact that we have a chance to throw the ball in the end zone at the end, regardless of who's in the game, that shouldn't even been close to happening. I'll tell you, if that happens, then Dan Mullen lost his job on Monday.
Yeah. How do you think the conversation between you and I would go tonight had that pass been completed?
I'd have been negative because we got our butt kicked up and down the field.
Yeah. I'd have felt bad. I actually would have probably went and sent a personal apology to Dan Mullen myself. You know, I think the whole team should have.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think that offensive lineman should send a personal apology not only to his team in the SEC, but maybe our team too.
For that piece of crap, no offense, but that's a piece of crap what he did.
Mexico State. You're gonna hear a little bit of breakdown about New Mexico State with Matthew Monte from UnderdogDynasty.com a little bit later. But Patrick, not really much to break down this game. LSU should win this game, you know, going away. But, you know, it's a matter of LSU working on the things that they just failed at on Saturday night is what they need to come out and do Saturday against New Mexico State. That's tackle better. That's, you know, execute a little bit better offensively, hopefully open up some holes, not be vanilla, and open up the playbook a little bit, because there's no sense in being vanilla when you got 7 SEC games to close of the season coming up. So, you know, no sense in holding back now. They need to work on some things. And what better than to do that in gameplay rather than just doing it in practice and maybe calling it play in a game? You know, so.
Well, we got the nothing to lose attitude now. You're right. You can play on that the rest of the season. We got nothing to lose. You don't think we're going to beat you anyway. There we go. Let's play.
Yeah, there we go. So. Anyway, season's over. We're going 3-9.
No, season isn't over. We got tailgating to do.
I'm sorry. We're going 4-8 because we're gonna win. We're gonna win Saturday, but that might be the last win of the season. So just doom and gloom. Just doom and gloom it the rest of the way. If you set your expectations low, Patrick, I find you got no way to go but up.
I mean, look at our friends. I mean,
look at the guy that's pushing the buttons behind the scene.
Did you mention him tonight?
I did.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, it's, you know, just set the ball very low. And that way it's more or less like, what's the year? Was that 2012? We were very frustrated with the way we played. And I think we played, did we lose to Florida on the road? But we came back and we played and even we came back and played South Carolina and we played like world beaters, and we end up winning, and it kind of, you know, salvaged the season at that point a little bit. Now, granted, we got New Mexico State, and then we got to go on the road to Auburn and to Florida, but, you know, realistically, we need to split those games. I don't expect LSU to win those both because playing at Auburn is going to be tough, but Florida ain't that good, Jack. So we need to, and I know that game's in the swamp, and that's a tough place to play, but that team's not very good, and that offense is not threatening. So if we have trouble stopping that offense, we really got some problems. But you know, hopefully we show up, you know, against Auburn, which I think we will. And just when you got a game like this and you get blown out at home against an unranked team, it's very hard to be positive looking forward, especially when you got Auburn and then you got, you know, you got A&M later on. You got Arkansas, who's up and coming now a little bit. And guess what they do? They run the ball very well. Guess what we don't do? We don't stop the run very well. So you're looking at that game now, you know, the Saturday after Alabama, you're just thinking about, oh my goodness, are we possibly looking at our first
losing season.
500 or losing season since 1999? That's something I don't want to think about, but it's something that's kind of just, it sits in the back of your mind. And you got to be realistic. I mean, if all you optimistic people out there, like I said, God bless you, keep the faith. Hopefully you toss a little bit my way. And of course, when it comes down next week, Patrick, when we're talking, you know, we're gonna, who knows what we'll predict. We'll all be happy again, I guess. Once the wounds get kind of healed a little bit, you know, yeah. We'll watch Auburn for another week. I don't know who Auburn's got this week. I gotta look that up real quick. But really study some Auburn game film. I'm talking about the coaches now, and hopefully come up with a game plan that can be, you know, efficient, successful, to give us a chance to win that game 2 weeks from now, and kind of give us even if we lose a good battle, you know, give us some kind of glimmer of hope that we're not going to go 5-7, you know, or 4-8 or 6-6. You know, hopefully we can squeeze out a win against Florida, Arkansas, beat Ole Miss at home, you know.
Anything.
So, but, you know, just sell your tickets. If you got tickets the rest of the games, home games, just sell them. Just don't even bother showing them. It's over. So, anyway, it's tongue in cheek. I don't really mean it. Saturday night, I'm in it. I don't really mean it tonight. Just hopefully we improve.
We've got a couple days. We'll get a few in us, and then we'll be okay on Saturday.
If we win a game on Saturday night, 24-7, yeah.
We'll be really down.
Yeah. So we are joined right now by Matthew Monte from UnderdogDynasty.com. Did I get that right, Matthew?
Yeah, that's it.
Matthew is a writer for UnderdogDynasty.com, which is a SB Nation site devoted to covering all the, I guess, would you call it the non-Power 5 conferences?
Yeah, this is actually our first year of operation, but we cover, we call them the Group of 5 conferences. There's Mountain West Connection and Hustle Belt that cover Mountain West and MAC football for the most part, but we pick up everybody else, so even a few independents.
Gotcha. And you said to me earlier that you kind of specialize in covering the Sun Belt.
Yeah, I'm actually the Sun Belt manager. I'm also the UL beat writer for them, but the Sun Belt kind of seems to be my specialty right now. So
I gotcha. Matthew's gonna sit in with me right now. Patrick is absent at the moment, so Matthew and I will kind of look at New Mexico State, look at the Aggies in New Mexico State, and kind of talk about them a little bit. Matt's also actually a season ticket holder at LSU, so
yeah,
wasn't pretty Saturday.
No, it wasn't. We were there until that Hail Mary, but I don't know why.
God bless you.
There wasn't a whole lot to watch.
People like you and podcast, God bless y'all for staying in the stadium, because I just can't anymore. When I was 10, 15 years ago, I might have. Just these days, I don't know if it's just my age or if it's just the crap with traffic, you know, trying to leave a game. And when you see something that frustrating on the field, it's just kind of, you know.
Well, I figured after the first three quarters, I mean, it wasn't going to be a whole lot of traffic to beat, so.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, everybody's kind of had the same idea and leaving in the middle. Once the score was 31-10, I think everybody had the same idea to leave, so traffic was just as bad.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like.
Yeah, so I guess the I don't know what areas, what the area, I don't know what wherever you park in, but the Contra Flow area where I was didn't really pan out too well. So anyway, looking at New Mexico State here, a chance for LSU to rebound a little bit. I'm looking, kind of perusing the Aggies. They're 2-2. They're coming off a loss against actually New Mexico, the Lobos of New Mexico. Tell us a little bit about Matt about what New Mexico State does. From the way it looks, they look like they kind of 50-50 as far as their offense goes. They chunk it around a good bit, nearly 40 times a game. Is that part of what they do, or is that akin to maybe having to throw the ball out because they've been down in some games to this point this year.
Well, I mean, you get this a lot. I mean, I'm sure you've noticed too. Whenever you're dealing with some of the smaller school teams, they'll try to go with the like a tempo offense, or some of them will go to an option attack or something like that, all just to do the whole cliche get the ball into the playmaker's hands out in space sort of thing. Right. So these guys, New Mexico State's mainly a tempo team. Rarely ever are they not four or five wide. Don't use a whole lot of tight ends, and they live and die for the short pass, especially this year with their quarterback Tyler Rogers. He's a pretty solid quarterback. 60% completion rating and everything like that. But everything they do is a short pass. It's all built off of bubble screens and tossing out to the flats and pulling defenders up. And then they might try to go over the top for a good 20-something yards, 30 yards. But they do that just to get people out of the box, because the yardage may look like they're a solid running team, but honestly, unless they can create some good mismatches, they don't run the ball very well.
Gotcha. It sounds almost like a West Coast wrinkle, kind of like mixed in, kind of almost similar to what Jimbo Fisher did at LSU in 2001 when he had Rohan Davey and Josh Booty kind of tossing it around to Josh Reed and Jarrell Myers and people like that a little bit.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they haven't started to use this up until the last 2 weeks, but they've started to mix in a little bit of read option in there too.
Okay.
So you'll see Rogers kind of he'll keep it every once in a while. As a matter of fact, last game I think he broke 40 rushing yards, which isn't a whole lot, but he gets them when he needs to. So he's a guy who can definitely get around the edge after spreading you out and get 10 yards if he needs it.
Right. Again, we're talking to Matthew Monte from UnderdogDynasty.com, SB Nation site, here to help us talk a little bit about New Mexico State. As I stated, they're 2-2. They started out with wins against Cal Poly and Georgia State. But they've some close games, a couple close games here and there, and then a decent loss against UTEP, and then that game against New Mexico, which looked like it came down to the wire.
That one was one of those games where, and even the announcers kept saying it all night too, it was whoever had the ball last was going to win that one. Both teams kind of got off to a slow start and turnovers and a few wacky plays by New Mexico. But near the end of the game, I mean, the defenses weren't stopping much.
Yeah, just kind of a typical old-style whack kind of back-and-forth game that you used to see back in the early 2000s and things like that. Nevertheless, they're still, they're like I said, 2-2 overall, 1-0 in the Sun Belt so far. There's a lot of teams that haven't actually played a Sun Belt game yet. There's only about six teams that have actually played Sun Belt games, and they're one of the six, and they're tied with ULM and Georgia Southern atop that conference. How do they stack up in that conference? Are they a team that it's expected to compete for that conference title, or are they just early on, or just the first win was against a team that's not going to compete?
Well, the easiest way, we do, believe it or not, a weekly power ranking of Sun Belt teams.
Okay.
Try not to laugh at that, but so the very first power ranking that came out, New Mexico State was dead last.
Okay.
The expectations for this team were if they won a game, more than who they would beat. The team that they have their one conference win over, Georgia State, it was the team that was kind of, they were both like 10A, 10B as far as which one would be last in the conference. And honestly, if it wasn't for Troy, they would probably both still be down there. But Larry Blakeney is pulling a choke job for the ages right now. So they beat Georgia State, which isn't really much of a feat, especially since it was a 17-point come-from-behind victory.
Okay.
And these last two games that they won, UTEP and New Mexico, those are both rivalry games for them, big rivalry games. So that loss to UTEP was was a big deal, but it wasn't really a measuring stick for him. I think the New Mexico game was. And it kind of showed us that as far as this conference goes, they're probably more of a middle of the road team in Sun Belt play. But at the same time, they could easily end up, second to last, third to last in the conference this year. So it's not, could be worse considering who it is. Considering what they did last year, but they're overachieving right now.
Okay.
with very little go on so far.
Gotcha. Is there anything to do? They have anything that they can build upon? Do you see going forward, or are they kind of who they are, and they're always going to be kind of right there in that down kind of lower echelon of teams in the Sun Belt?
Well, actually, and it's kind of funny, this is their second stint in the Sun Belt. They were in it for between 2001 and 2004, I believe. And back then, they were a perennial second place Sun Belt team, which the Sun Belt's come a long way since then. But at the same time, New Mexico State's kind of fallen off. Now, interestingly enough, they don't bring much on defense this year. Bring back much on defense. They only about, I think, five starters returned from last year. But their new defensive coordinator is Larry Coyer, which I'm not sure if you're familiar with him. He had a couple stints as defensive coordinator for a few NFL teams, including a pretty successful one with the Broncos. So he's their first-year defensive coordinator. Whether or not he'll be able to do much this year is kind of still up in the air. I mean, in their secondary, they have two converted quarterbacks playing, safety and cornerback. But especially last week, you saw it kind of starting to show that they're improving over last year, and they're improving, honestly, from week one of this season. So they could make a few waves, and they could make a few heads turn in the Sun Belt, but honestly, I don't see them getting past midway through the conference.
I got you. Let's get into a little bit of that play. A few of their offensive playmakers. We talked about the quarterback Tyler Rogers, who's completing 61% of his passes. He's got 1,000 yards passing so far, 9 touchdowns. His favorite receiver seems to be Teldrick Morgan.
Yeah.
Pretty good numbers from what I'm looking at. Tell us a little bit about their receivers that you talked about earlier about getting the ball to these guys in space. Seems that him and after them is a couple of other guys that kind of.
I mean,
it's kind of receiver by committee, but he kind of stands out. He's got almost double the receptions that anybody else has.
Yeah, it really is Teldrick Morgan and then everybody else. But the reason why is Morgan's their go-to guy on the bubble screen. I mentioned that earlier. I mean, that is their go-to play. And he's the one that they're going to throw to the most. And for all the yardage that he has, and for he actually has a decent yards per catch numbers. Most of those are on the ground. It's a lot of yards after catch. So for a team that might have struggled a little bit with tackling last week,
right,
he might be a handful.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're averaging 15 yards a reception and you're getting the ball on bubble screens mostly, that's not bad.
No, that's not bad at all. I mean,
that's very good, actually.
Their wide receivers, surprisingly, their wide receivers are decent blockers. And a lot of that yardage that he has too came in the last 2 weeks between New Mexico and UTEP. So these aren't numbers that are inflated from the Cal Poly game or anything like that. And don't get me wrong, UTEP and New Mexico don't have SEC caliber defenses or anything like that. But 15 yards averaging off of mostly bubble screens is nothing to scoff at.
That's okay. I don't think LSU has an SEC caliber defense right now either. So. There's nothing more disheartening than thinking you have an excellent pass defense just to watch just watch a team get picked apart. Like it was nothing. But yeah, like you said, it's when you, especially when you run an offense like that, when your dependency is a lot of short passes and things like that, I think one of the main ingredients is to have receivers who aren't afraid to get their hands dirty and do some good blocking downfield.
Yeah, and they definitely do that. I mean, they make hay the best way they can. And, I mean, they don't have a whole lot of guys that are going to outrun most cornerbacks playing in at the FBS level. They don't have a whole lot of guys that that are big and strong, but they're disciplined as far as their blocking goes. They get rid of the ball quick, and whenever they get the ball, they move. Especially Teldrick Morgan, that guy. I mean, he made so many people miss last week that I was actually shocked they didn't try to get him the ball more sometimes. But they did have to go to the run and things like that every once in a while to keep people from jumping those routes. And surprisingly, for as many bubble screens and passes to the flats that they throw, they're not throwing a whole lot of picks there. The interceptions that Tyler Rogers has thrown this season have been mostly off of pressures, him getting rushed out of the pocket, or every once in a while just getting a little lackadaisical and throwing off his back foot. So,
yeah. I got you. And it's definitely, I mean, this could, you know, not to the point to where New Mexico State's going to come into Baton Rouge and win this game on Saturday, but definitely getting some guys out in space, you know, offensively, that can cause a few issues for LSU. We touched on it earlier about a team that had trouble tackling on Saturday. This is an excellent opportunity for LSU to kind of shore up some things and fine tune some things, and they'll get some excellent practice against a team that, you know, is going to throw the ball a lot to guys in space, like we talked about. So, you know, a good little, you know, minor little pop quiz, I guess you could call it, for LSU a little bit, to come in here and try to fine tune those things that need to be fine tuned. And
yeah, this is honestly the best week from an LSU standpoint for them to play New Mexico mm-hmm. State, because I mean, the Aggies aren't going to come in there into Baton Rouge and upset anybody, but at the same time, especially after last week, you're going to get to see how serious LSU took practice.
Yeah.
Because this isn't going to be a team that's going to lay down for anybody.
Right.
Especially with the things that they do well. So, I mean, tackling in the secondary and coverage by the linebackers and everything, because, like I said, they go 4 or 5 wide a lot. So you're going to see a lot of linebackers and coverage, and they're gonna test them. So tackling is definitely gonna be an issue this week if they didn't crack down on it in practice.
Right. Yeah. Again, we're talking to Matthew Monte from I can't remember the name of the site. UnderdogDynasty.com.
Yeah.
Board of SB Nation. Tell us a little bit about, what can you tell us about New Mexico State's defense as far as what they run scheme wise? Are they base defense 3-4?
I mean, they're base 4-3. They really don't get out of that a whole lot. And like I said, they're real young on their defense. The secondary, surprisingly, isn't terrible. They can do a little bit in pass coverage. Lewis Hill, one of their cornerbacks, is actually pretty good. Short of a costly pass interference penalty in the final minute of the game last week, he was having a solid night. And then he committed pass interference in the end zone pretty blatantly and gave up the ball on the two. So that kind of covered up all the goodwill he had made all the rest of the night. And honestly, New Mexico is an option team, so they weren't throwing the ball a whole lot against New Mexico State. But still, I mean, the secondary looks all right. They're not going to be anything. I mean, the easiest way to equate it for LSU fans is they're probably around the level of ULM was a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
And ULM has one of the better secondaries in the Sun Belt. And they did give LSU a few fits, at least early in that game. So we may see some of the same. But honestly, this defense, Other than up front, they haven't been tested a whole lot. So it's kind of anybody's guess. Their line, granted, they played a pair of option teams, but their line has given up, I want to say they're 126th or something in the country as far in rushing yards, giving up rushing yards. They're giving up something like 300 a game. So you're definitely not going to see them test LSU's running game this week, although they could probably use it.
So yeah, so yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's really just it. I mean, LSU as far as going up against New Mexico State on defense. New Mexico State isn't going to give them a whole lot. LSU is going to do their typical grind them down thing. But it would be nice to see them try to pass against them.
Right. Yeah. It would actually be kind of refreshing to see LSU not come out and have another vanilla kind of game plan like they did against ULM a couple of weeks ago. I really honestly thought after that ULM game that they were just kind of hiding some things and they were going to come out and they were going to spread the field out and run the ball mostly out of pistol. But we saw the same kind of eye formation, 3 yards in a cloud of dust type of thing. It just didn't work against Mississippi State. I know a lot of fans are going to get kind of grumbled a little bit once they, because if they see that on Saturday against New Mexico State, but that's kind of what the game plan calls for. You know, interior of the line is not going to be what Mississippi State's was. So it actually, the game plan would point to just go ahead and just pound the ball in and air and do that and wear this team down and score points in the process. But just from a fan standpoint, I'd like to see them work on some things. You know, who knows as far as what's going to be, who's going to play more quarterback. I mean, that could factor in a little bit to how much they actually throw the ball. I haven't heard anything about how much Anthony Jennings has actually hurt from that little shot he took that knocked him out of the game. So, Miles said they were going to go to Brandon Harris regardless. I don't necessarily believe that, but.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Harris in the game, but it will be interesting. Like I said, that New Mexico State's defensive line isn't they're not going to give LSU's offensive line any sort of test. Mm-hmm. But they do have a little bit of speed on the edges. They have a senior, and I can't think of his name for the life of me right now. But they have one senior on the defense as a defensive end who will probably get around the line a few times and give a little chase to the quarterback, whoever it is back there. So that might be good to see. Get somebody rolling out of the pocket and throwing without being able to plant every once in a while. But honestly, you're not going to learn a whole lot in a week that you really almost need to.
Right. Yeah. No, that's kind of downfall. Just kind of watch them play and hopefully that they're doing some good things, some things in practice to kind of shore up some things that just didn't go right on Saturday at all. But
yeah.
You know, at the same time, it's, you know, before they travel out 2 weeks straight on the road, SEC play. This is it for LSU. This is after this week, it's SEC the rest of the way. So,
yeah,
definitely an opportunity A to get some people healthy who's ever banged up, but also B to try to implement some things in a game plan that you might see going forward against the rest of the SEC schedule, and not just to come out and just be vanilla. To kind of, you know, who regardless of, I don't care if you're playing. You know, a Sunbelt team, and you might drop 50 on them. It's time to kind of see what other things this offense can do. We know we can line up an eye formation and run a ball. You know, let's work on some, you know, from my standpoint, I want to see them work on some things that maybe possibly could have worked against Mississippi State that didn't necessarily try or didn't execute properly on Saturday. So.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is pretty similar. This may be an easy win for them, but it's not the game that LSU needs to be coming out trying to hide the game plan or anything like that.
Right.
They did that the first couple weeks, and it looked like it cost them because they really didn't know what they could do.
Right.
So it'd be nice if they came out and actually tried out some new things, especially on the early downs. But I don't know. We'll have to see.
Time will tell. It's a lost cause. Time will tell. We will see. Matthew, man, thanks for joining us tonight, man.
No, thanks for having me. It was great.
You were a lifesaver, because otherwise I would have been me and Patrick trying to talk about New Mexico State unsuccessfully a little bit. But we learned some things, and I think podcast pushing the buzz behind the scenes will be pleasantly pleased with this conversation, I guess, a little bit. Hopefully so. But thank you for joining us, and we'll try to do it again some other time.
Yeah, so, thanks for having me. I'll be glad to come back.
So anyway, we have no pick'em to do tonight, since we actually taping this a night early, because our normal night taping is my wife's birthday. So the kind folks of Podcast Patrick and our guest, that you will hear a little bit later on, was kind enough to do this on a Tuesday night. But then again, when you hear this show, remember to sign up for the Go Show Pick'em. Compete for weekly prizes.
Oh, and we can still do some pick'em if you got a minute.
Oh, yeah. Can we do some pick'em?
Let's pick some games.
I'll call them out.
We'll pick some games.
I got the games.
Let's pick some games to close out the show. That's what we'll do. Again, all the complete list of games is not up, but remember, Go Show, the ATVS/Go Show Pick'em challenge will be posted tomorrow. But we're still going to look at some games. Pocket, if you want to feed some spreads to me real quick, a few games. Me and Patrick will break them down, as only me and Patrick does, and we'll close it out and bid everybody a fond farewell.
Sure, let's stick in the SEC as much as we can here.
This is a rarity. You don't normally hear podcast voice on a show.
No, so. And I love this. We got to do this. This is the kind of thing we need for this week to pick us up.
Yeah, we need to hear podcast voice.
Yep.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's how bad Saturday was. It got me to writing about games again. Anyway, let's see. Let's stay in the SEC. Arkansas A&M, the Southwest Classic in Jerry World. A&M is a 10-point favorite.
Why on God's green earth is a conference game a neutral side game? This should not be happening, in my opinion. I understand
it's the TV contract for this deal. It lasts for 5 more years, and then both schools have openly said they're taking it back to home and home as soon as possible.
They better. This is ridiculous. Anyway, what's the spread?
10 points for A&M.
A&M.
Yeah, I got to say, Mark, Arkansas is coming off that high. A&M.
Well, I will be interested to see how – I mean, I think A&M kind of – because A&M's defense isn't all that spectacular, and Arkansas runs the ball well. So, I think they can keep it close, but in the end, A&M, 10 points, I don't see that being a problem.
No. You're absolutely right.
All right. Let's see what else we can pull from the SEC this week. There's really not a whole lot just based on spreads. Tennessee is at Georgia. Georgia is favored by 17.
Patrick, I'll let you go first on this.
17. Tennessee. At Georgia, though, they came off a very disappointing loss, and they're at home, and they had a bye week. I'll go with Georgia in this one.
I tend to agree. Tennessee's still got some growing up to do. Georgia, you know, a little lacking on defense a little bit, but I don't think Tennessee has any real firepower just yet on offense. I know Butch Jones is trying to build something there, but and this game's between the hedges, you said, Barkat?
Yeah, it's at Georgia.
Yeah, I like Georgia. I like Georgia to win this game by more than 17.
All right. The only other real conference game of note, Missouri at South Carolina. Mizzou looked to be on a roll for maybe a shot at repeating, and then they blew out a tire and lost at home to Indiana last weekend in a game that I still do not understand how that happened. South Carolina is a 5-point favorite at home.
There's your silver lining, Patrick. We may have got our asses handed to us by Mississippi State, yes. But we didn't lose to Indiana at home.
That is correct. We didn't lose to an ex-Jerry DiNardo team.
You talking about a team that a lot of people were saying, everybody was talking Georgia and South Carolina to win the SEC East, and all of a sudden here comes Mizzou getting better and better, and Matty Malk looking really good, and everybody's talking about Mizzou making a second straight SEC championship game appearance? Not no more. South Carolina, let's see, after that beating they took to A&M, right at the ship, they beat Georgia. This is going to be an interesting game because, again, South Carolina's defense ain't that great. Manny Marks is still a good quarterback. I know they had that hiccup against Indiana, maybe possibly looking ahead to this trip to Columbia. I don't know. I got a sneaking suspicion Missouri might sneak up and cover this. You said it was 5.5, Pod?
Yep.
Give me Mizzou. Give me Mizzou to cover.
Nah, I can't do that. I just can't give you the Mizzou Tigers to cover that. I'm going to have to go with Mr. Visor himself. I think he might actually put two games together in the same season.
He might.
Yeah.
All righty, and let's go out of conference for my upset special of the weekend. Cincinnati 2-0 because they decided not to start playing any games until week 3. Is traveling to Ohio State. Ohio State is a 14-point favorite. But let me tell you something. As much a joke as we spent the last 5 years making about Gunnar Keel and his lack of chest, he absolutely tore up the last two games they've played. That kid's got a hell of an arm on him.
Yeah, he does. I like, give me Cincinnati to cover that. No Braxton Miller and Ohio State, you know, definitely showing some vulnerability. I don't know if Cincinnati wins, but 14 points is a lot of points for an offense that really tosses the ball around a good bit. So I like Cincinnati to cover.
You know, I like Cincinnati too. I watched them play a little bit of that first Thursday night game, and they fly around. They really do fly around the ball, you know, and their coach, yeah, is a little gumption and knows what he's doing a little bit. So I think they'll at least cover it, yes.
Okay, and the last interesting game on the spread, because the rest of it's just the SEC slate against nobody. Florida State at North Carolina State. Both teams undefeated. North Carolina State unranked, though, and a 21-point dog at home. Last I saw, Jameis Winston will be back and starting this game, although that wasn't enough to cost Florida State a loss against Clemson last week.
And it sure came close. They sure came close. But now they're going to right the ship and they're going to win this game going away. Give me Florida State to cover.
Oh yeah. Jameis Winston makes his miraculous I'm the man type of return here. And, they'll win this game by like 30, 35 points.
I've got North Carolina State covering this one just because I think it's an awfully large spread. Maybe Florida State is got a little bit of a hangover after what they've done the last couple of weeks with all that. All the Jameis Winston's nonsense they've had to deal with. And I tell you what, if this game was on a Thursday night, this is traditionally where Florida State craps the bed in the ACC. You know, on the road at an unranked North Carolina State who's decent but not great. But Florida State will still win this on Saturday. And that'll do it for the pick 'em.
All right. Outstanding.
Sir, do you even have a score prediction for the LSU game?
45-7.
Wow, we are almost dead on. I put it already in the pick 'em. I said 45-10.
Okay. Wouldn't that shock me if we actually went and pitched another shutout against a team like this? Because this team's about on the level of ULM, but who knows? I mean, they throw the ball around a good bit, a lot of short passes, get guys in open space. Our lack of tackling ability might. When his guys might break it. We talked about one of their receivers with Matthew later on. So they could sneak in a touchdown, maybe two. But I like 45-7.
Awesome.
Outstanding. Patrick, thank you.
Well, we got any more positive in this show? Telling you.
3 penalties, 28 yards. 3 penalties, 28 yards. We did all right in that department.
So. You know what? I predict a 12-pack or a 24-pack and a bottle of Crown before the game.
Okay, but you're not coming Saturday, so.
Well, maybe change of plans, but
okay. Oh, okay. Business picking up. All right. We'll see you out there Saturday. All right. For Patrick Morris, are we done?
Done.
Say bye, Pat.
Bye, Pat.
All right, Podcat. Thank you, as always, for the esteemed works you do. I am Kerry Muntz, your host. See you next week, hopefully with positive thoughts. Positive thoughts. Positive reinforcement. That's the theme of next week, hopefully. Unless the score is 24-7. Then we got something to talk about. Then we got something to talk about a little bit. But again, everybody, thank you for listening. This has been the Go Show, your original LSU podcast. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Valley Shook. Follow me at Go Show Carry. Or Mr. Morris, where can I follow you at?
At Cat Godfather, K-A-T-T Godfather.
That's right. Hey, as always, we finish up strong. We say go Tigers. See y'all next week.